Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. This week we have a fun episode with lots of information that even a lot of researchers miss. Our questions this week are sent in from Justin in Chester, Virginia, and revolve around how Oswald got the job at the Texas School Book Depository. He asks, did Ruth Payne truly get Oswald the job at the depository? And he says he read somewhere that Oswald was offered a higher paying job with an airline company but chose to stay at the depository. Is this true? Well, Justin, the details about how Oswald got the job at the depository are fascinating for sure. But were they all a part of a larger plan? Or shall we say conspiracy?
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting. Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
We got a shooting out here. It's a police officer. Somebody shot him. What's the name? What's his street? It's a police car. Number 10. He's dead.
Officer J.D. Tippett, 38 years of age, was killed today.
People have been given, but I emphatically deny these charges.
Did you kill the president?
No, I have not been charged with that. In fact, nobody has said that to me yet. The first thing I heard about it was when the newspaper reporters in the hall asked me that question.
You shoot the president?
I work in that building.
Were you in the building?
Naturally, if I work in that building, yes, sir.
Back up, man.
Chief, do you have any concern for the safety of your prisoner?
No, I don't think that, that the people will try to take the prisoner away from us.
One out by Captain Fritz. There's the prisoner. There is Leon.
He's been shot. He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot. Well, there's a man with a gun. Absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. Oswald has been shot. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot.
Mr. Oswald died at 1:07 our time in the operating room of the gunshot wound which he had received.
On October 3, 1963, a little over 6 weeks before the assassination, Lee Harvey Oswald went to the Texas Employment Commission to look for a job in Dallas. Oswald was matched with an open job that needed his skill set, but he wasn't hired for it. This is because his former boss, Robert Stovall at Jagger's Child Stovall, told the company that Oswald was, quote, kind of an oddball, particular, and maybe a damn communist, end quote. On October 14th, Oswald interviewed for another job, this time at the Wiener Lumber Company in Dallas. The hiring interviewer at the lumber company said Oswald, quote, makes an excellent appearance and seems quite intelligent, end quote. But Oswald refused to provide proof to the lumber company of his honorable discharge from the Marines, which was a red flag. This resulted in Oswald not getting the job. Of course, Oswald did not have an honorable discharge from the Marines, so he would not have been able to provide that documentation. On the same day that Oswald was turned down for the job at the lumber company, his wife Marina was talking with Ruth Payne and her neighbors, Dorothy Roberts and Lenny Mae Randall. They were discussing Lee's difficulty in finding a job and was trying to figure out a way to help him find work. They mentioned a few businesses, according to Lenny Mae Randall, Manor's Bakeries and Texas Gypsum. Then Lenny Mae Randall reminded the group that her younger brother, Buell Wesley Frazier, had recently been looking for work and was just hired at the Texas School Book Depository building. Randall said that it was their busy season at the depository, but she didn't say anything about there being a job opening there. Randall told the Warren Commission, quote, I didn't know there was a job open at the Texas School Book Depository. The reason we were being helpful, Wesley had just looked for a job and I had helped him to try to find one. We listed several places that he might go to look for work, end quote. Randall then said, quote, Mrs. Payne asked me if I would call the Texas School Book Depository and see if there was a job available. And I told her no, that I didn't know anybody over there, and if she wanted to call over to the place, she would have to do it because I didn't know if there were any job openings over there, end quote. Ruth Payne then took it upon herself to look up the number of the Texas School Book Depository and gave them a call. Payne did not call any of the other potential employers that were mentioned by the group. According to Payne, she spoke with Supervisor Roy Truly and said, quote, You don't know who I am, but I have a neighbor whose brother works for you. He tells his sister that you are very busy, and I'm just wondering if you can use another man. I have a fine young man living here with his wife and baby, and his wife is expecting another baby in a few days, and he needs work desperately, end quote.
A little story about how it came about that he worked at the school book depository. I was next door to the Roberts house, and Marina and I were over visiting, having coffee with our neighbors. And Lenny Mae Randall, who lived across the street, said that her brother worked at the Texas School Book Depository, and he had a lot of work. They were filling orders. This is October. Schools, districts are getting their books, and she thought there might be a job there. And you have to understand, Marina did not speak any English. She didn't understand a lot of English either. She didn't know what that conversation was about. So I explained it to her later, and she said, oh, could you call and see if they really do have an opening? And so I did. Called and talked to said personnel, asked for personnel, and got Roy Truly. And I said, well, this young man, a wife and a baby, young girl and a baby on the way, and he's looking for work. Was there an opening? And he wouldn't say, but he said, well, let the young man come by.
Here's another interview done with Ruth Payne on December 13, 2019 at the Texas School Book Depository. Listen to how nervous she gets when she's asked about Lee Oswald coming to visit Marina and the kids at her house. And she also describes once again how she helped get Lee Oswald the job at the Texas School Book Depository. Something about this woman makes me question every single thing she says. I wonder why they didn't ask her why her tax returns from those years are still classified as secret by the federal government.
Oswald comes back to town October 4th. So Oswald's back in the fold, but he doesn't live with you, obviously. Tell us about the arrangement that was made for Oswald to visit with the family.
Well, we have to say that it was when he was looking for work. He didn't have a, I think he was got a little room or something, but I was
Now, let me tell about where he got the job.
Well, because, of course, we're in the building. We're in the Texas School
here
Book
we
Repository.
Are.
And it's important to note that we would not be here in this building had you not gone the extra mile and tried to help him find a job.
Well, I was sitting with a couple of neighbors, and one of the neighbors said he's not getting any money now and is looking for a job, and he doesn't drive, and he's very limited in what he can get. And he's got a little girl and another one on the way. And Lenny Mae Randall, who was a neighbor there, said, well, my brother's working at the school book depository. They're filling orders for schools right now, and he's very busy. Maybe there would be work there. So we went back home. We were at the neighbor's house, went back home, and I told Marina what we'd been saying. Because you have to understand, she not only didn't speak English, she didn't really understand the conversation that we were having. So I said that we were talking about a possibility of maybe work where Lenny Mae Randall's brother was. And she said, oh, call and see if they're really accepting applications. And so I called and talked to Roy Truly, who was here at the warehouse, and described the family and said that this young man was looking for work. And he didn't say whether there was an opening or not, but he said, we'll let the young man come by. So when Oswald called, as he normally did in the early evening, to talk to Marina, she told him about it. And he did show up the next day and got the job. And it was just, there was so many things that just happened, you know. We couldn't have known what would come next.
When Marina called Lee at his rooming house that night, Ruth got on the phone with him and told him to go to the Texas School Book Depository building as soon as possible to get the job. On the next day, October 15, 1963, Oswald met with Roy Truly at the School Book Depository. Truly hired Oswald on the spot, with the idea that he would only work for a brief time during their busy season. Truly said he hired Oswald because he was a former Marine and because he said, quote, yes sir, end quote. So to answer Justin's questions, as if Ruth Payne truly got Oswald the job at the depository, that answer is a resounding yes. But here's where things get a little interesting, and it has to do with Justin's second question. Unbeknownst to Oswald, on the same day that he interviewed for the school book depository job, a man named Robert Adams from the Texas Employment Commission called the Payne home with a message for Lee Oswald about a higher-paying job at a different employer. Adams was following up on the visits that Oswald had made to the Employment Commission in the weeks before. The job Adams was calling about was a position as a cargo handler for Trans-Texas Airlines. It would have been a full-time permanent position, unlike the temporary one at the school book depository, and would have paid Oswald 30% more per month than his job at the depository. But Oswald wasn't at the Payne house when Robert Adams called. Adams said in his affidavit to the Warren Commission that he spoke to someone at the Payne residence and was told that Oswald had taken another job. When asked about this phone call, Ruth Payne first denied knowing anything about it. Then she said she remembered that Oswald told her about it. But Adams only called the Payne residence. He never informed Oswald personally of this opportunity in any other medium of communication. So it is not possible that Ruth Payne could have heard of the Trans-Texas job from Oswald. Given how eager Ruth Payne was to help Oswald get the job at the Texas School Book Depository building, it's surprising that she didn't at least pass on the message to Oswald about a job that paid 30% more and wasn't a seasonal job. This is especially the case because we know that Oswald wasn't happy with the depository job. Marina testified that Lee was looking through the newspapers for something better. The notion that Oswald was offered this better job and didn't take it also confused Warren Commission staff attorneys William Coleman and David Slauson. They wrote a memo noting that Oswald turned down a permanent job that paid $310 per month when he was only making about $209 per month in his seasonal job. The commission had to consider the possibility that, quote, Oswald may have had a non-economic reason for taking the job at the Texas School Book Depository building, end quote. I believe the Paynes are significant persons in the lives of the Oswalds and warrant further research. Although they probably did not participate in a plot to kill the president, and they might have downplayed their relationship with Oswald merely in an attempt to distance themselves from a tragic event, they are, I believe, nevertheless withholding evidence about Oswald. Robert Oswald, Lee Oswald's brother himself, claimed that right after the assassination, that he felt Michael Payne knew more about the event than he was revealing. And I think we should take Robert Oswald's claim seriously and look into the Paynes further. And we will do that next week. If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. Also this week, I'd like to announce that I'll be speaking at the Citizens Against Political Assassinations, or otherwise known as CAPA, conference in Dallas in November. If you'd like to get a signed copy of my book or just meet and talk about the case, I'd love to see you there in November. The conference runs from Friday, November 22nd to Sunday, November 24th. I will be speaking about my book, The End of Innocence, and also I'll be speaking about the presence of professional assassins in Dealey Plaza the day President Kennedy was killed. I'll also be speaking about a second arrest in the Texas Theater that day. You could get tickets for the conference at www.capa-us.org. Hope to see you there.